طل البحر على بلادنا ورد التحيه، والموج يجري بفرح ويسابق الميه، وبوصوله بوصوله يسجد لارض بلادنا ويقبل ترابه ويبلغه سلام وتحيه. يا بحر يلي موجود من زمان، شايف يا بحر كيف قسموك وعملوا لنا حدود وحطوا حيطان. يا بحر سلم على اهلنا في مصر وتونس وسوريا ولبنان. يا بحر امانه سلم على كل فلسطيني وين ما كان. يا بحر امانه ما تقول لهم حاجه عن الاحزان، وقول لهم لازم يلتم شملنا قصر او طال الزمان.
Palestine overlooks the Mediterranean Sea to the east, with a coast 224 kilometers long. This coast starts from Ras al-Nakhura in the north to Rafah in the south. Along history, people living in all coastal cities, including Acre, Haifa, Jaffa, Ashdod, and Ashkelon, have worked in fishing as their major profession to earn income. The fathers inherited the profession from the grandfathers, and now their sons inherit this profession.
We are fishermen, father and son. Fishing is our only craft in life. My father, my brother, my grandfather, my uncles, and I are all fishermen. We have no craft other than fishing and the sea.
Since Palestine was occupied by the Zionist gangs in 1948, fishing as a profession has been subject to many violations, like the occupation of all Palestinian coastal cities and forcefully displacing their inhabitants, who found refuge in the Gaza Strip and resided in coastal refugee camps. Faiz Abu Ful is a fisherman originally from Hammam village near Majdala, and Adham Al-Habil is a fisherman originally from Al-Jora village near Ashkelon, and both are coastal villages in the occupied Palestine in 1948. These two fishermen use fishing as their major profession, which they cannot live without.
My name is Faiz Ahmed Abu Ful from Ash-Shatta refugee camp. I work as a fisherman. I am married and have a family of 12 in my house. Our capabilities as fishermen do not cover one quarter or one third of our needs. Every day, I leave the house at 5:30 a.m. and walk to the port. We all come here to the port very early in the morning, around the dawn time. Then we get on the boats, depending on Allah, and follow the fish wherever they go, east or west, from Sudania area to Rafah. To the west, we are allowed to go only 3 nautical miles, where fish is very scarce. Some days we can't find any fish. This is our life. We can't live a different life, and we don't have any other profession.
Hence, one of the violations by the Israeli occupation is limiting the distance allowed for fishing to 3 nautical miles and allocating gunboats to chase Palestinian fishermen who exceed this 3 miles, where fish is scarcely found. Adham and Faiz's boats were attacked when Adham tried to sail to an area where plenty of fish could be found.
3 years ago, we were 1 nautical mile away from the port in Sudania area, riding 4 boats. An Israeli gunboat came and started shooting at us. My boat was in the back and other boats were in front of me. They kept shooting at us for 10 minutes and we stopped. We had to stop, otherwise they would keep shooting and call us with microphones to force us to stop. They closed up on us and kept shooting for about an hour while we were standstill. The boats were hit and holes started leaking water. They started shooting right at fishermen, so they jumped in the water while I got stuck on the boat. Suddenly, one boat got on fire. They hit it with a shell, which directly hit the gas tank, which made it catch on fire very quickly. The boat for Habil family was burned, so the other boats closed up at it and tried to put the fire off. The gun boat left the area, so one boat was able to get close and drag it to the shore.
A month and a half after the boat was burned, it was fixed and Adham and Faiz went back fishing. Fishing as a profession is the major source of income for more than 3,000 fishermen and hundreds of others in the Gaza Strip.
After I pray Fajr or dawn prayer, I take my stuff, I go to the fish market. Fish market starts around 6 a.m. So every day I buy some fish and take it to the public market to sell it from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. While staying there, I see different kinds of people, those who can buy and those who can't buy because of poverty. You can see these things from dealing with the people. At the end of the day, you have a lot of things that bother you, and you could make a poem of our lives out of it. I mean how we are humans and we feel for one another. It is these things that we feel that make us right.
Hossein Qasim did not limit himself to writing poetry. His interaction with people and getting introduced to their grief provoked him to write scripts and scenarios for plays and feature films.
I wrote four plays for children. Two of them were produced, while the others were not. I wrote 60 radio episodes. I used to be a radio director, and I directed 120 radio episodes. I wrote a series of 13 episodes. I also wrote a script for a long film named Bleeding of a Heart, talking about the suffering of prisoners in Israeli jails and the suffering of their families, which is based on a novel from Mohammed Nassar named Screams. I also wrote the full script for another film named Volcano, under supervision of Dr. Nabil Abu Ali.
Hossein Qasim continued writing till he got the chance to stand on the stage and in front of the camera to play major roles in many plays, series, and films.
In 1996, I went to an organization named Al Auda for theater and arts. We produced two plays, one named Counted on Who, and the other called The Good Land. Then I shifted to TV work. We produced a Bedouin series called Paths of Yearning. We also produced another series called And You, Jerusalem, Al-Quds, talking dramatically about the Judaization of Al-Quds and how the Israeli occupation tries with all means to take over the houses around it, either by offering money or threatening the owners, along with other means. I also acted the role of a Palestinian prisoner, showing all sorts of torture and suffering they go through in Israeli jails.
If anybody listens to the artist Hossein Qasim, a pressing question will jump into his mind about the reasons why he's selling fish in the market.
This is the reality in our country. As an artist, I have to find another job to be able to earn money to live. Otherwise, I will starve. Because how often will any producer make a film? Every year or once in 2 years? And how much will he give me per film? How much will he even profit from the film to give me? Is he going to be able to give me a fixed monthly salary to pay my rent and live with my children? He will not be able to do that. So I have to find another job. In short, honestly, you have to be an artist with nothing. An artist who can't feed himself. An artist who can't feed his family. I wrote something about that, which says, I am an artist and have a right to be human. I am an artist and have the right to take my art anywhere, to Tunisia, to Syria, or Lebanon. I am an artist, and do you believe that? Till now, I don't have a phone and don't have an address.
This is the condition of the artist Hossein. However, Wissam, who is an actor, is in a different condition. At night, he works as an actor on stage for wedding parties in the streets, while in the morning, he works as an electricity technician to feed his family, which cannot depend on what he will gain from acting.
We did the street theater, or what we call the weddings theater. We used to get almost no money for it. After a year or two of doing it, we started to get $5. The first time I got the $5, felt like I received $100,000. When I stood in front of the camera in the film on the Palestinian leader, Awad Salmi, Rifle Lover, I did two things. First, I worked as an electricity technician. Second, I acted in the film. I was paid for the electricity work more than for the acting. This is a real catastrophe, to be paid for electricity work more than my acting.
The Rifle Lover was Wissam's second film, in which he stood in front of the camera, while the first film was Imad Aqil, which he didn't get paid for, and played the role of a spy for the Israeli occupation. Here, the surprise was after the film was showed.
I faced many obstacles and still suffer after the film on the Palestinian leader, Imad Aqil. I do not suffer from the film, but from the role I played in the film. Today, I got used to it. When I walk in the street, somebody would say, "Hey, you're a spy," and I would smile at him. But I would say to myself, "This is not a problem. As long as the people know me and remember me, this is a success." This acceptance from people makes me feel better.
This is regarding art in Palestine, but Equestrian has a different story as well.
This club was founded in 1993. There were a group of horsemen who used to organize races near the eastern borders. They were frequently harassed by the Israeli occupation soldiers. They sent a request to the late president Yasser Arafat to allocate a place for them to organize the races, and he gave them this 30 dunam piece of land. But unfortunately, there were a lot of obstacles, especially financial ones, which prevented equestrian from being practiced as desired.
The management of the club faces a lot of difficulties in getting the horses in. Second, horses in Gaza are very scarce and it is very hard to find good ones. Another problem is prices of the horses. As not every horseman can afford a horse, and this puts pressure upon the management of the club, which cannot provide all these horses. This is a big problem.
After the Equestrian Club was founded in northern Gaza, Al-Faisal Equestrian Club was founded in Gaza City. These are the only two clubs in the Gaza Strip that teach horsemen and horsewomen on hurdle jumping. This sport requires having trained horses as well as talented and qualified trainers to arouse the sport in a country where this sport never existed before.
We in the Al-Faisal Equestrian Club are the second place in the Gaza Strip to produce strong Palestinian horsemen. The largest portion of our activities is for hurdle jumping, which takes up to 80%. 10% goes to races and 10% to shows of Arab horse beauty. Hurdle jumping is the main focus of the club, so we can participate in external tournaments. All the horses we use here are trained locally. We train them. We didn't buy trained horses from outside. تدريبنا احنا ما اشتغلناش غير مدربه وجاهزه من برا لذلك نرى ان الكثير من الخيول Therefore we believe that many of our horses are not qualified to participate in external tournaments. So when a Palestinian horseman wants to compete outside Palestine, he will have to rent horses from the country he is competing in. When the horseman is not used to the horse he is riding and the horse is not used to him, this is a very serious problem for the horseman to achieve anything.
Sixteen-year-old Ayal Ajrami is a horsewoman training on hurdle jumping. With hopes of achieving an ambition, she has always dreamed of representing Palestine in international tournaments.
My ambition is to become a famous horsewoman, and to participate in tournaments and win high ranks. This way, I would represent Palestine and show the world that Palestine is a country that has a horseman like any other country, a country that has everything as all other countries have.
We try to interact with the Arab countries, as most of the tournaments there are based on hurdle jumping. So we always try to pick a suitable team, and we have won advanced ranks in various occasions. We have a good group of horsemen who can achieve impressive results to whichever Arab country you send them.
If Aya wants to continue training on hurdle jumping, to participate in international tournaments, she has to own a horse to train with anytime she wants.
I have a horse that I bought about a month ago. When I bought it, we faced a lot of difficulties getting it through the side of the Israeli occupation. And it was very hard to get it in. At the same time, this horse doesn't have all the desired qualities found in external horses.
Aya Al-Ajrami wishes to someday represent Palestine in international tournaments in hurdle jumping. However, Mohammed Fannouna, who is handicapped, had already participated in international tournaments for athletics and won various medals. He stood in front of the podiums with pride despite the hard circumstances this Palestinian champion went through.
Regarding visual impairment, B1 is totally impaired, B2 is partially impaired for a certain level, and B3 is partially impaired for a lower level. I am diagnosed with B3, which is considered the lowest category. In Athens, I won the bronze medal for long jumping, and in 2010, I won a gold medal in the ASEAN in Guangzhou, China. I also participated in the world tournament in 2002 and won 4th place in long jumping and 5th place in javelin. In the year 2000-2001 in Tunisia, I won 2 gold medals in long jumping and javelin. Each country had a protocol of sounding the national anthem, so my feelings at that moment described themselves. As a Palestinian athlete who was able to get there and reach that level despite the hard circumstances we live, being political division, siege, and lack of resources. There are countries that created a character and status and value for themselves through sports, and this is related to willpower. The Palestinian people are persecuted and occupied, and willpower is their strongest weapon. However, the disabled who belong to Palestine and our Palestinian athletes should be given more attention and support, and we have to all learn from them.
What we can learn from the handicapped is their ability to achieve victories. Hamid Zakout is an international athlete in javelin, discus throwing, and shot put. He won various medals in international tournaments, but he suffers from very hard circumstances, which any handicapped athlete suffers in getting to the podiums.
These are the achievements in Arab and international tournaments. We have proved our ability to the world, despite all the suffering and hard circumstances we went through, especially the siege, in the full meaning of the world siege. And despite our humble resources, or simple resources, or maybe I can say without any resources, compared to the large countries we have faced and beaten in these competitions. One of the major obstacles is that the athlete needs an income to continue. If I were not an employee, I wouldn't have come to train in the first place, and sports wouldn't be important to me, because I would be concerned mainly about supporting my family and fulfilling their financial needs.
Numbers of people with special needs rise day after day in Palestine as violations by the Israeli occupation continue. During the war in Gaza in 2008-2009, about 5,000 Palestinians were injured. 600 of them were disabled, and they were mostly youth. Therefore, some civil society organizations started to respond to some of their needs, which was the case with Al-Taysir Society for Marriage and Development.
The goal or mission of Al-Taysir Society is to provide some financial support to needy young men to get married. In 2010, we decided to help young men who were injured during the war because they became a deprived group. After they were young and strong and able to do anything they want, they suddenly became disabled and unable to do basic things. We found it our duty as Palestinians who can help these people to take the decision of helping them by providing anything they need to get married.
Munzer Krayem is one of those who were injured during the war by shrapnel of drone missile while he was walking in one of the streets in Gaza.
I was injured on the 4th of January 2009. We were in Jaffa Street after evacuating our house during the war. I was injured in my left leg, my cheek, and my neck. My injury in the left leg caused a disability as it became 10 centimeters shorter. In the surgeries I had, they took bones from my right leg and put them in the left leg, so the shortage became 8 centimeters.
Abdel Fattah Jaddour was injured inside his house on the 5th of January 2009 when he was 16 years old. Abdel Fattah's family gathered in one room in an attempt to find peace together, but their gathering did not last for long.
Around 9 p.m., we were sitting upstairs in the balcony. Suddenly, the Israeli occupation's Apaches targeted us with one or two missiles. When the missile exploded, my eyes popped and exploded, and my head was fractured. They put platinum in my head, and these are plastic eyes now. My brothers who were in the room, Lutfi, Hashim, and Ghazi, died immediately, and they are martyrs in the paradise, may Allah have mercy on them, while Wissam, Mahmoud, and I were injured.
2 years after the war, Al-Taysir Society organized a communal wedding for some of the war disabled. Krayem and Jaddour were among the grooms in this wedding.
I was very happy and delighted that I'm getting married to an injured man who was defending Palestinian people. All the people around me were happy that I'm marrying an injured man, defending his fellow Palestinians.
Thanks to Allah, after we got married, we had a baby. She was a girl, and thanks to Allah, we were very happy to have her. I forgot about the injury, the pain, and the suffering. When I play with my baby girl, we laugh a lot, thanks to Allah. I registered in Al-Taysir Society for Marriage. They held a communal wedding for a large number of people injured during the war, and they provided them with money covering their costs of getting married. They helped us find brides by offering registered girls, giving us the freedom to choose from outside the organization. Thanks to Allah, I found a good bride from outside the organization.
After we got engaged, I was very happy to get married to Abdel Fattah. I got pregnant after we got married, and 9 months later, I gave birth to Lutfi. Thanks to Allah, he brought happiness and joy to his father and I, to his grandmother, and to the whole family. We were happy to have him. Thanks to Allah.